Orchard Show.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We've got a good show on hand tonight. We'll be talking basketball and also football at Northwest Missouri State. I'm Matt Gorder. I'm John Coffey. And, Matt, first of all, let's talk a little bit about basketball. The Bearcat men's basketball team, again, off to a great start this season as it's winding down, but came up a little bit of a roadblock on Saturday. Missouri Southern put together a heck of a game Saturday afternoon in Joplin and knocked off the Bearcats for just their first loss of the season.
You know, there were two or three shots that Southern took in that game that if fans saw those shots and the fact that they went in, you know it's one of those days that you just can't defend them. There's not much you can do. I mean, there was one shot that hit the white stripe at the very top of the backboard and still went in for Southern, and another one that was kind of a hook shot from the waist, it looked like, that went in. And, you know, shots like that don't usually fall unless it's that kind of day, and it was for Southern. You know, we've heard all year a coach talk about how they're always going to get every team's best shot. And not only did they get that from Southern on Saturday, but everything was clicking for Southern. And when you put those two together, it's going to be tough to beat a team. And they're just tough to beat in Joplin anyway. And so all that added together. And, hey, it's the first loss of the season. But other than the goose egg on the right side of the record, not a whole lot really has changed for the men's basketball team. And that's a plus.
They already have the number one seed wrapped up for the MIAA postseason tournament, which gets underway next week. And also the regular season conference championship out of the way as well. So they've already got two of their goals set up here.
Yeah, and, you know, they're still set up for the goals of getting a chance to host a regional, too. So, you know, they haven't lost – I mean, they lost a little ground there, but they haven't lost a lot of ground there. So, yeah, everything that they wanted to do 2 weeks ago or even a week ago before that first loss is still exactly where it was really a week ago. If they win the two games this week, win, I would think, at least one or even a couple, and of course they're going to be favored to win that tournament down in Kansas City. You know, there's going to be no doubt they're going to have a chance to host that regional tournament. So it's just a matter of how they react to that first loss. You know, it can be a challenge for some teams, but I just have a feeling with this team it's not going to be a very big challenge.
And they've got a lot of basketball left to play, be played, where they probably won't be thinking about it too much right this moment. But when you look at what this team accomplished, along with last year's squad as well, carrying over to this year with the MIAA regular season record for most consecutive wins, I think it ends at 28 now. But that's a record that stood since 1931, and it may be that long or maybe never that record will be broken.
Yeah, I would think, you know, it's gotten tougher to break that record. When it was set back in 1931, there were five teams in the MIAA, so they were beating the same team multiple times, you know, and if you can beat a team once, most likely you're going to be able to beat them again, especially if you're playing them two, maybe even three times, you know, over that stretch. But with the way the conference is now, you only play a few teams a couple of times a year. The rest of them you're playing just once, and it's so much tougher when you're playing just once because you got to prepare for that. You don't get that second opportunity to play them. I already know what they're going to do. We just played them a few weeks ago. That doesn't happen as often as it used to. So I think that makes it a lot bigger of a challenge to put together a winning streak like that. So I think you're right. At the very least, it's going to last probably at least that long if it ever does get broken.
And one thing that a lot of people were talking about, too, at one point was could this team go undefeated during this regular season in the conference? And that's something that hasn't been done in 50 years. I think the last time was when Southwest Missouri State was in the conference out of Springfield, and that time they went undefeated with a 10-0 record in the conference. So
yeah,
you got a lot more games you have to go through to come up with that now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're looking basically double the games from that period, and you know, there's reasons records like those stand for so long. You know, you look at all the national championships going back to 1957 in Division II, only four of them were undefeated national champions. And I'm pretty sure I saw a six-loss team in there as a national champion as well. So, yeah, like we said, it's tough. You know, you hate to see the team lose. It was really cool to see them as the only undefeated team in Division II. But you know what? They're going to move on. They're going to continue to play good basketball and still try to accomplish all those same goals that are on the board.
They also had a good win last week at Pittsburgh, Kansas, against Pittsburgh State to start off that road trip since we talked last. And That was a heck of a game where Northwest just did everything well. Pittsburgh State struggled, and you had a little bit of time to do a little research toward the end of that game as far as the Northwest success against Pittsburgh State this year in athletics.
Yeah, we looked at when you look at football and men's basketball, there have been three combined games played, and if my memory serves, it was 3-0 for Northwest. I know that part's right. And I think they have beaten them by a combined 112 points. 59 in football, 27 in basketball, and 26 in basketball. So 112 points worth of victories over Pittsburgh State, nah, that's not bad.
No, it doesn't happen every year either.
No, it doesn't.
Well, the Northwest women's team coming off a couple tough losses against Missouri. Yeah, Southern in particular, 1-point loss, but a heck of a comeback in that one. They could have folded things up in the third quarter, but they came back and made a heck of a game out of it.
You know, I was thinking as we were approaching the halfway point of that third quarter, I was like, you know, the next 15 minutes of basketball could be brutal. But then a couple minutes later, you thought, oh, that's not going to be the case. And then a couple minutes after that, you thought, this is going to be a ball game. And then as the fourth quarter went on, they continued to chip away, got that three there late to bring it within one. Unfortunately, fell 1 point short. But to close a 20-point gap in 15 minutes was just a great effort. And, again, I'm sure we'll hear about this from Coach, you know, just extending that out from a 15-minute stretch, you know, in a basketball game or in a half to 40 minutes is the big key. We've seen them play that good of basketball. You just have to do it consistently.
Bearcat baseball last weekend, a trip down to Edmond, Oklahoma. They took two out of three from Oklahoma Christian and really should have had all three of those. And, again, two out of three in a weekend series is good. But I think they looked at that one they lost. So that's one that kind of got away from them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there's a very real possibility. This team could be 9-1 after non-conference play. As it stands, they are 8-2. They picked up two wins on Saturday. It was supposed to be a three-day series, but they saw some rain in the forecast Sunday, so went ahead and played a doubleheader Saturday. But, you know, an 8-2 non-conference season is tremendous, you know, and it's a little bit tough, I think, right now to see what the MIAA is going to be like. You see a lot of good records in the non-conference, in the MIAA, but you know, you also see it just depends on who you're scheduling, who you're playing against. You find some common opponents that you've played and make some comparisons there. But until they really get into the heart of MIAA play, it's going to be tough to feel what this conference might be like. And they're going to get that started this weekend with conference play starting this weekend.
Down in Tahlequah with Northeastern State.
Yeah, right back down to Oklahoma. A lot of Southern trips. I guess maybe the best part of it is if they can go get down there and get a couple, two, three wins, they get to be at home finally.
Yeah.
So they can look forward to that for sure.
And softball, a trip down to Bentonville again this past weekend, and the injury bug kind of hit them a little bit down there.
Yeah, they did. They had a few injuries that kind of made it tougher on them. But they went 2-2, and even in the two losses, they were very close games, potentially winnable games. But, you know, they had some good performances. Hopefully, you know, those injuries, not all of them are going to be long-term injuries. They'll just have to take a wait and see. But they were at some pretty key positions as well, and so that became a little bit of a factor. But Rebecca Maher, you know, was kind of the highlight of Sunday. She had a couple of home runs in the two games that they played. Four RBIs total, was 4-for-6 at the plate. So good performance there, and they can string some of those together, you know, you can get through injuries like they've suffered.
As far as the track and field, they close out they've got more coming up, but the MIAA indoor championships are coming up for them.
Yeah, coming up this weekend, they were up in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now, they were in two different locations, but at least it was the same town this time around for track and field. Coach Lorick has had to put on a lot of windshield time with some of the weekends that he's had, but they competed at Nebraska Wesleyan and at the University of Nebraska Lincoln, kind of split the squad up a little bit, had some good performances, some near provisional qualifying times. There was an NCAA qualifying time that came through. And so I think they're ready for the MIAA championships coming up this weekend. And, you know, it's kind of a step. If any of them get a chance to move on, you're going to move right into outdoor season. So there's not a break or anything. It's just a matter of where you're going to be competing and whether there's a roof or not. So we'll see how they do against the MIAA this weekend. I think they've got a chance to have a lot of success.
All right. Again, we've got a good show on hand tonight. We'll be talking basketball and football. With us tonight will be the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's team, Ben McCollum, along with player off of his squad, Devontae Mosby. I'm not sure if he's bringing his ukulele or not, but
he could be onto something there.
He could perform for us maybe tonight. But also, head women's basketball coach Buck Shill and assistant football coach Chad Bostwick will all be with us on the program. We'll have more coming up as the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at nvb.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, Maggie Wilson, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audio Visual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter Agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, team goes 1-1 this past weekend. Tough loss down at Missouri Southern, but and you talked about this after the game too, you're really proud of the way the team reacted, picking up just their first loss of the season. Just how they reacted after the game to that.
Yeah, when we got done with the game, obviously, in the locker room, our first thing was, now you get an opportunity to celebrate the streak that you were on. You know, we were on a 28-game win streak, you know, technically 31, I guess, against MIAA opponents. That won't ever be done again. It's that difficult of a streak. And I wanted our guys to understand how big a deal that was and understand that, although they're disappointed that they lost, and, you know, we wanted to win the basketball game, I wanted them to make sure that they celebrate the things that they had accomplished and then obviously move forward with a new streak. But, yeah, I think after the game, I think that our kids, just how they acted with class, you know, it's a difficult situation because everywhere you go, obviously on a smaller scale than at Division I, but everywhere we go, you know, you get good crowds and you get them cheering against you, and obviously it's essentially their Super Bowl or their national title game. And when somebody beats you, they're pretty excited.
Yeah.
And it's tough to maintain that maturity and understand and give them the respect that they deserve for beating you, and then also understanding what you had accomplished in those 28 games.
You know, to go take that point a little bit further, the last couple weeks when we talked to people who have been following the teams in Northwest has faced after each game, they keep saying, this is the hardest this team's played all year, and if we played that hard, we'd have a much better record than they would. It just seems like they take it up a completely different level when they go up against you guys.
Yeah, and they just essentially Southern changed their defense for our game, and they guarded in the half court. They didn't overextend, and that was good. And then offensively, they were in a rhythm, and we didn't play overly well either. We didn't control tempo. We panicked a little bit when we did get down, and so it was kind of the perfect storm. But yeah, we've taken everybody's best shot for the most part, outside of a handful of teams, and that's good because when we get into the postseason, we'll continue to take everybody's best shot, and they'll game plan and scheme us, and we'll have seen every single type of game plan that you can possibly see. And we'll be ready for that.
When you think of that 28-game winning streak, again, the old mark was set back in 1931. It took this long for this particular streak to be beaten. And, it's a lot different situation now. You guys play a lot more teams in the conference, and with scouting and things, it makes this record even more impressive, doesn't it?
Well, and I don't want to discredit back then because I wasn't there, but, you know, they played 3-4 games in a row against the same team, you know, so that's why I think now, I think it's almost impossible to beat that kind of record because you're playing different teams every night, different styles of play, where certain matchups for us in basketball just aren't great. We just don't match up well with styles, and people don't match up with us, or they do match up well with us with their style. And then the scouting piece of it, where they have unlimited clips of everything that we do and can take away every single strength or weakness or strength that we have and expose every weakness that we have. And so for 28 games, you know, and honestly, the new generation of kids, you know, it's a different generation of kids that aren't quite as ready consistently. You know, it's the, you know, kids want immediate results and they don't want to work for it. And not all kids, but generally speaking, that's how it is. And so for kids to be able to do that and be ready every night for 28 straight games, obviously is very impressive.
Seems like the type of player that you recruit into your program, too, lends itself to the success you've had here, where it seems like you've got a group of guys that buy into the team concept, buy into being focused and ready for every game, that perhaps something a little bit different than what we see from other rosters that come in.
Yeah, I would agree, and that's kind of what we recruited towards. So we've talked about how we recruit, you know, we want competitive kids, we want tough kids, you want talent, skill, shooting ability, those kind of things. One question that I always ask in recruiting, and it seems like a strange question, but I kind of figured it out last couple of years, what I just can't coach, and that's moody kids. I just, for some reason, when if somebody's moody, it drives me absolutely crazy. And so that's one of the questions we ask. That's probably the only question we say, okay, if this kid is moody, please tell me now, because he'll be gone in a year if that's the case. And you know, what kind of question? It's just a strange question. But that's why I think we're more consistent, because we get kids that every day they're the same kid and they're in the same type of mood and, you know, and they're a joy to be around, and that helps our culture and helps us be ready consistently.
Yeah, I would imagine just from a team chemistry standpoint, that type of player really adds a lot to the locker room.
Yeah, well, or it can take away if it's a, we call them energy vampires, you know, if you just sucks the life out of you. You know those guys that just kind of suck the life out of you. We avoid those, and so we try to get positive, upbeat kids, and it seemed to work, and you know, we're going to continue to do it that way.
Well, since we last talked on this program, you went down to Pittsburgh, Kansas, came away with a big victory there, and that one significant from the standpoint that you claimed the MIAA regular season title outright with that one.
And played really well, I felt like, and we got to rest people. And so it didn't seem to help against Southern, though. But, you know, it came so easy against Pitt, and it's tough. That's where the different styles, that's why it's, you know, it's such an accomplishment to win that much in a row, because you get one team who puts up no resistance, and then the next team puts up all kinds of resistance in different ways, and you got to be able to adjust to that. And we didn't do a very good job adjusting to it. But Pitt, I thought we played, you know, as good as we have all year, and that was a fun win, fun game.
Come back home this week, two games to wrap up the regular season at Bearcat Arena. Open up with Leonard Wood, then on Saturday afternoon the Lincolns, and again, a great opportunity for fans to come out and watch this team wrap up the regular season this weekend.
Yeah, and especially for the seniors, just their last two games at Bearcat Arena, where Zach's done nothing but win. I mean, he's got 4 conference championships in 4 years. I mean, I don't know that there's – I'd be curious to see statistics on guys that play considerable minutes that have won 4 conference championships in basketball. I don't even know how many teams have actually even done that in the MIAA. And then Anthony and Devontae have done the same, you know, where it's been 2 and 3 for them. And so to come out and see them play one last time in Bearcat Arena, we'd absolutely love the fan support. And, you know, both teams, Lindenwood and Lincoln, are playing well. Lindenwood has won every game since they've played us. They completely changed their defense. I mean, they went from press to just sit inside of 10 feet. It's like, I mean, it's like a night and day difference. And so, but they're playing well, playing at a high level. You know, they beat Central at Central, Lincoln at Lincoln, which – We know how difficult those two places are to play, so we're going to have our hands full. And then Lincoln obviously had a kid score 50 on us. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, I did hear a little
okay,
bit about that.
Good. you know, it's funny because people forget that we won that game.
Yeah.
I see it. You know, you see it all over Twitter and stuff like that. And I had a buddy, Jesse. Well, you know Jesse Shaw.
Yeah.
He calls me and he goes, "Hey, did you guys win that game? I thought you guys won that game." I said, "Yeah, we won the game." And he goes, "Well, everybody's talking about this 50-point. He's like, "Well, they lost." and that's just, you know, Jesse's mentality. But, yeah, so but he had a heck of a performance, and they played really well against us, and they'll play really well against us up here. And so it'll be a tough two games, but we're looking forward to it.
We talk about Lindenwood getting out of the press. The press didn't exactly work particularly well for them against you in the
not
first meeting.
So. Yeah, that's a bad idea against us. Yeah, for the way we play, our style, our passing ability, our shooting ability, scoring ability, pressing us is probably not what you want to do. And they backed off of it a little bit, but they're not pressing anymore. So it'll be interesting to see if we can score at a high rate and be able to stop them.
Are they a team, too, that I think you talked about this a little bit earlier this week, too? It seems like Lindenwood's a team that has played better on the road than they have at home this season.
In conference, they have. I think they've got a better record on the road than they do at home. And so, well, I mean, they lost to Southern at home. Then they go and beat them on the road. Same for Central. They lost at home to Central and beat them on the road. And they've won at some tough places. So, yeah, I think they'll probably be better on the road. And they'll be really good against us. Our guys need to understand, and I think we've got their attention, that this is 100% different team than the one we faced. A part of it is we shell-shocked them out there. It wasn't that it was just one of those games. It's like the, I don't know. Southern last time, mm-hmm. when we were at our place, you might as well just throw that film out the window because that doesn't mean anything because it was such a, you know, we beat them so bad that can't really get anything out of that film. And that was the same concept out there. They just weren't quite ready, and we were, and it was just one of those games. So we don't take much from that. We just need to make sure that we understand they're a completely different team.
Well, that first meeting, too, up until, about 4 minutes left in the game, you were shooting a little bit over 70% from the field for the entire game until I think you went to the bench at about, maybe 3 or 4 minutes left in the game there. So.
Yeah. No, we were shooting well. We played well. I mean, it was a fun game for sure. I mean, everything seemed to go in and seemed to work, and obviously Justin was able to get going in that game, and a lot of it that's what a lot of the key is how aggressive and assertive he is early on in the game, and that certainly helps our whole team.
Now, again, you talked about Lincoln with the player who went hit 50 in the first matchup for Durer. I guess you want to slow him down, obviously, but the key in against a team like that is to limit the rest of the guys from scoring in the matchup like that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to give him 50. I mean, that's usually not a good idea. But, yeah, I mean, we'll probably adjust our game plan slightly. I don't know what we'll do, but we'll adjust it slightly and hope that he misses a few more shots. And they're not going to have the crowd anymore, and they won't have that band, which I won't have a headache the entire game.
Know.
So we'll see. It'll be fun. I mean, they're a fun team to watch, too, because they can really score it, and they've got really good guards. And I thought they did a good job defensively on us, too. So, I mean, they'll give us their best shot, and it'll be fun.
Right, we've got Devontae Mosby coming up a little bit later in the program here. Just talk a little bit about Devontae and what he's meant to this program. It seems like the last 2 or 3 weeks he has really come on and given you – and he's given you solid minutes all season long. But, again, it seems like he's taken another level over the last couple of weeks.
I would agree. I think the last couple of weeks, I don't know if he sees the end in sight and really wants to give everything that he's got to this team and to the rest of his career. But he's been excellent, and obviously meaning for us, you know, I think the attitude that he brings, you know, the positive mentality, positive outlook, and just the energy that he gives to everybody that he's around, you know, I mean, he just brings a positive vibe, a lot like, you know, Bryston Williams type, where it's just constant positivity and energy, you know, he's an excellent ukulele player,
that's what
too.
I'm hearing, too.
Yeah, I don't know if he brought it tonight or not. he did get a haircut, though. It looks good. He kind of kid and play look. But,
you know, I think, too, his play has picked up since he started playing the ukulele.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like for him to go get it if he could, but I'm sure he's got it in his car. He carries with him everywhere. But, Yeah, he's quite the player. So he's been excellent for us, and a great leader. Him and Zach in particular have just been in practice have been really good. I mean, every day just ready to go, and that's good because they'll be ready to go in the games. We can count on them to give us everything we got.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. Welcome back, and have more for you on our coach's show tonight as we continue to talk basketball right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at Heinlein Home Furnishings.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandVilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW. And we continue to talk basketball as we turn our attention to the women's side and the head coach Buck Shield joining us. And Buck, let's talk a little bit about the second half of that Pittsburgh State game. I know you said earlier this week that, and you told the players after the game, that's the team I want to coach. And I know throughout the course of the year we have seen that type of play from that team. What was it about that second half against Pitt that your players made that, against Missouri Southern, that your players made that big comeback from 21 down to lose by just one?
Well, for me, it felt like at that point they just finally woke up. That first half we just played really out of character. And, you know, even for how our practice was the day before, I didn't really know where that was coming from. And so, you know, to see them come out, you know, midway through that third quarter and just really kind of flip the switch and just chip away one possession at a time, basket here, stop here, you know, next thing you know, we've got it down to, you know, single digits, and we're right there kind of going back and forth with them. So, you know, I don't know what it was. I wish I knew, because then we could, not have to maybe have that problem in the future here. But, you know, I think they just kind of came together and just really everybody just kind of woke up and got things going when we needed it to happen.
It really didn't look like there was anything major that changed. Were there any X's and O's that you tweaked, or was
no,
it just like you said, they just turned it on?
Yeah, you know, we made an adjustment in a timeout in the fourth quarter when we were, you know, dealing with some foul trouble and had some odd lineups in there, and so I kind of just threw something down just to try to get a bucket, and it worked pretty easy. And so then we just continued to do that, and we were getting different looks. They did a really good job of making an in-game adjustment and carrying something over that was just discussed in a, you know, full timeout, and going out and executing it, because at the end of the day, that's what got us back into that game offensively with what we were doing. And, you know, so it was good to see them, you know, at least carry that out and fight back and give themselves a chance to win the ball game.
I thought another key point in the game there in the fourth quarter, when there were a couple of times you'd gotten it to single digits, whether it be 8 or 9, and then you saw them get it back to double digits. And that's another point where you had fought so hard so long to cut 10 points off of that lead that that was another chance for the team to just say, well, you know, we did okay. It's just not going to be our night. But then after those few possessions, they continued to chip away.
Well, and I think by that point they kind of realized that, you know, we're right there. And if we just continue to do what we're doing, you know, there's a good chance that we're going to get back in this thing. And I've, you know, that's pretty much what happened. You know, we had some breakdowns defensively that kind of got us back into that. But, you know, we had some kids out there playing with some fouls and stuff. And so I think they were worried about fouling out, not being able to be in there for the longevity of the game. And, you know, sometimes that plays a factor into it as well. And so, and that's one of the areas where I talk with them where, you know, any foul that you have, it needs to count. Like, it can't just be, you know, one because you're out of position or you're being lazy on that possession, because later in the game, you're going to need those fouls. And so, you know, for the most part, we weathered that storm and just, you know, continued to battle throughout that fourth quarter.
Now let's talk about this week's matchups. Obviously, Lindenwood and Lincoln to close out the regular season. Two very important games
In
terms of wanting to make the MIAA tournament. Let's start with that Lindenwood matchup. What, from the first time around, were the biggest lessons learned?
Well, the biggest thing against them is when we were at their place, you know, we had a lot of momentum going into that fourth quarter. We had hit, you know, two or three threes to really cut that deficit and go into that fourth quarter. And then throughout the fourth quarter, we gave up 13 points in transition baskets. And, you know, it's after going back and looking at that and really paying attention to that, like, that right there is something that we can control. You know, that's an area that we're responsible for. And so I think between that and obviously offensive rebounds, that game they really they hammered the glass really hard, and they did that game. And like I've told the girls, I know we're not going to get every rebound, but if you're not giving the effort and at least attempting to box out and prevent your man from getting the ball, then we're not doing our job. And so, you know, those two areas are going to be very important, just because they're areas that we can control.
You know, we talk a lot about rebounding and boxing out, and when you talk about it, it kind of sounds so simple. But honestly, every shot, it's fairly complex. Take us through what a player needs to be thinking when a shot goes up to try to get that rebound.
Well, the biggest thing that I try to, you know, try to beat into their heads, I guess you could say, is that, you know, you have to expect every shot to be a miss. And you have to do your job to prevent your man from getting a rebound. And, you know, there's obviously so many different angles and where shots are coming from, who's shooting them, you know, all those types of things. But, you know, as soon as that shot goes up and you know, you check your man, you get into your man, depending on where they're at on the floor, the type of box out that you do, you know, if you're keeping your man from getting that ball, you know, 9 out of 10 times, we're probably going to get that rebound. But it seems like there's always that one person that either gets out of position or, you know, draws a blank when a shot goes up. And, you know, they're usually the ones that make you pay.
And that seems to sound simplistic, too, but it really does only take one person missing only a small part of that assignment to not get the rebound.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. You know, O-boards are a big momentum builder for a team. And the more you can limit those, it just limits their opportunity to get momentum going, get their confidence going and things like that. You know, and especially with Lindenwood, who's a team that isn't a great perimeter shooting team statistically. You know, so they're usually pretty particular about the shots they take. But anytime a shot goes up, you've got to be ready because, you know, they know what they're good at and not good at. So they know when a shot goes up, they're hammering the glass pretty hard.
And again, going back to make it sound real simple, I would feel like if you can get the 15 minutes that you got in that Southern game, that second half, for 40 minutes, that this week, two winnable ball games and an entrance into the MIAA tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think with our girls' understanding with that game, that Lindenwood game at their place, you know, how we lost that game, I think it's just kind of an eye-opener to them that, you know, if we play like we're capable of and like we've shown and be more consistent, then, you know, we're going to put ourselves in a position to win the game.
Then you have the matchup against Lincoln on Saturday, obviously going to be a senior day there, but the most important game.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at what happens tomorrow, doesn't even play, it feels like, as big of a factor.
Yeah.
That Saturday's kind of one of those must-win type of games.
It is, and that's an area that I haven't discussed with the girls yet. So, you know, I'm sure they're looking at the standings and trying to figure things out, but, you know, they don't necessarily understand all those ins and outs. And so, you know, really, after Thursday, we will know exactly what our status is, because, you know, there's been crazy upsets throughout the season, you know, throughout the MIAA, especially once you get into February, where for us, you know, to drop one on Thursday could have a major effect on what happens on Saturday, depending on what happens with other teams.
Yeah.
And so, you know, going into Thursday is just take care of business Thursday, and we'll see where the chips fall on Saturday. And, you know, with Saturday, you know, Lincoln's going to come in. They're a scary team because they're pretty streaky. You know, they've got some players that are very capable of having big nights and beating you from the outside, beating you from the inside. And so, you know, for us, what we're going to have to do, just like we did down there, is just play a team game and, you know, really make them have to guard us in the half court, because that was one area where we were really able to expose them in a lot of situations.
And when you talk about that, obviously a big key to try to wear them down. And I know defensively it's a little bit tougher, not quite as much structure with their offense.
Yep.
That you normally see. So that's got to be a lot tougher defensively. Just, you know, you're reading the situation.
It is, you know, because you can plan for it as much as you want to, but for the most part, a lot of things that they do offensively are putting different players in different isolation situations. And so you have to do a really good job of being, you know, a solid on-the-ball defender, as well as being in those help-side situations, depending on what they're running. And so, you know, the good thing is, you know, they've played, you know, three or four games since us, and so we've been able to see any types of adjustments and things that they've made. So we'll, you know, do that prep on Friday and hopefully carry out that game plan on Saturday.
All right, Buck. Well, thanks for stopping by. We'll catch up with you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
That is Buck Scheel, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team. Again, they match up with Lindenwood at home tomorrow night at 5:30 tip at Bearcat Arena, and then finish out the regular season at home Saturday afternoon also at Bearcat Arena. We're going to continue to talk basketball when we come back. Devontae Mosby, still ukulele-less, will join us when we come back. You're listening to the Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, joined now by a member of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team, Devontae Mosby. And Devontae, we've been having a little fun with you with your taking up the ukulele during this season, but I think that's a neat deal. And just kind of talk a little bit about getting interested in the ukulele.
Well, I've played guitar since seventh grade, but you can't necessarily take that on trips. I thought about taking it, and then I was like, man, I'm going to be the biggest distraction ever. But I just decided to get a small ukulele and just put it in my backpack. And ever since then, everybody knows, and they ask me to play all the time. And I don't know.
So you get the rest of the team to kind of join in with you?
I try my hardest. Pitts is a tough one to get to sing. So is Zach Schneider. So is Brett. And just about everybody but Zave. And they sing sometimes, but most of the time they just laugh at me. So,
who's the best singers on the team?
Zave, hands down. Yeah, he's got a little voice. Don't tell him I said that. It'll go to his head. But yeah, he's got some talent in that area.
What genre of songs do you guys play on the road?
Just a little bit of everything. Just some feel good vibes, you know. Mostly our main one is Jason Mraz. Me and Zave, we jam that one out pretty often. So,
you might talk a little bit about your guitar playing too. How'd you get interested in wanting to play the guitar as a kid?
I just always thought it was cool, and I don't know, it was just a challenge, and I kind of picked one up and stuck with it, and over time, just got better and better, and once you get it down, you just want to learn more. So,
it's just kind of nice to be able to pick that up and relax a little bit at the end of a long day.
Yeah, for sure. I play just about every night before I go to bed. So.
And talk about long days. You guys have had a few practicing and getting ready for games and things, but it's been a heck of a season. And just kind of talk about the way this year's gone. You really couldn't ask for anything better at this point.
Yeah, it's been an awesome ride. It's weird to think that we're coming on the last two regular season games, but when you take a moment and sit back and you think about all the things that we've done and the cool things ahead, really couldn't ask for a better year. Really couldn't ask for a better senior year.
When you look at the one record that you guys have right now, well, you'll have several, but the 28 straight regular season wins in the MIAA, has it sunk in exactly what you guys have accomplished with that?
I don't think it has yet. I think we do a good job of staying focused with what we have ahead of us. And we have so many goals that we set, and all the guys on the team are super competitive and driven to achieve those goals and the ultimate goal of winning the national championship. But sometimes it crosses my mind. I'm like, wow, that's a lot. And that's a long process over 2 years. So it hasn't sunk in yet, but doesn't mean that we don't appreciate it.
And you've got hopefully some good things ahead.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And let's go back to the loss on Saturday with Missouri Southern. I know the coach has talked about this, that he's proud of the way you guys reacted to that loss and handled it with class. Obviously, something you're not accustomed to doing, which is nice, but just the feeling of the team when it became inevitable to throw them down the end of the game that this was not going to be a good outcome for you, but just talk about the way the team reacted and some of the things that you thought was key to the way you reacted with that.
We have a lot of great guys that come from great families, and coming down the stretch at the end of that game, it was obvious that we weren't going to win that one, but a lot of the guys gave credit to the way that they played. It was a quiet bus ride home, but when we finally got to the locker room, we kind of sat and talked about it, and it was like, man, they took that game, and they played as well as they could have, and they gave them credit. And I think the way that we responded was on Monday, Tuesday, and today, you could just see that there's a different kind of intensity in practice, and that's just about all you can do when you have a tough loss like that. It's just respond by the way you play thereafter, you know.
Now you've had a good season, all season long, but as we were talking to the coach a little bit earlier, it seemed like the last 2 weeks you've taken your game up an entire another level. What have been some of the reasons that you've been able to maybe take it to the level you're at right now?
I've just tried to focus on the things that I do well. One day I had a conversation with coach after the game, or after a practice, And he just reminded me of the things that make me me, which is like rebounding and energy. And I think so long as I focus on those things, the rest will come, whether it be scoring or whether it be defending. But if I stick to my bread and butter, and I focus on that, then we can see the results of these last games.
Seems like when you come off the bench and come in for Brett, both of you guys bring a certain level of energy onto the floor to where you can come in and give Brett a breather, and really the energy level doesn't go down any and perhaps goes up at certain times when you get into the inside play there.
Yeah, me and Brett are really good friends. He's my roommate. He's a great guy. And we talk before games about how we're going to defend and how we're going to use our time while we're in the game. So it's kind of a little team that we have in between within the team, but that's just kind of one of the sacrifices that I've had to make here, and it's an easy one working with a humble guy like Brett, just to come in and he gives all he has and I get in and I try to do the same thing and not let there be any kind of letdown.
And I think knowing that you're going to get your minutes and knowing that you can go out there and give it 100% really helps out from that you just don't have to pace yourself for a game. You can just go out and give it all you got, and then you know you got Brett coming in to take your place, vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, that's my job, and if it'd be sad if I didn't do that. Because, I mean, we wish Brett could play the whole game, but if I'm going to get in after he's given all he had, then I'd have no choice but to give all I have. So.
This weekend, the final two regular season home games. Hopefully, as things play out, have an opportunity later to play at Bearcat Arena with the regional. But what do these two final games mean to you?
They're the most important games, especially this one after responding after the loss. We try to make every game as important as any other game. But heading into conference tournament time and then win or go home time, it's really important that we're really tuning up for the long stretch to reach our goal down the road. But these games are important, but not as not more important than any other game that we've played.
And let's just talk briefly about your future plans. A senior in the program right now, where are you looking at after graduation?
I'm looking to go to graduate school at some PT programs or physical therapy programs. I'd love to go to KC, maybe go to Rockhurst. That's probably my first choice. But I'll apply at schools like Rockhurst and Southwest Baptist and also Missouri State and Mizzou. So we'll see what happens there.
All right. Well, best of luck to you there. And Monte, it's been a pleasure watching you play in a Bearcat uniform here. And, again, good luck to you in the future.
Appreciate it.
Again, that's Devontae Mosby with us on the Bearcat Coaches Show this evening. We'll be back and turn our attention to football as assistant coach Chad Bosbrick is with us. And we'll talk with Chad right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing, copying, and other services such as folding, stapling, binding, and laminating, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More information at 562-4657.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCB KRNW. Joined by the linebackers coach for the Northwest Missouri State football team, Chad Bostwick. And Chad, how tough has it been dealing with all the changes you guys have had on the coaching staff this off Well, just one.
Just one.
I would guess it's been a pretty smooth transition.
It's been a very smooth transition. Everybody kind of knows what their roles are, and fortunately, we're all here and still doing it and having fun with it. So,
talk about the guys that you were able to bring in on the defensive side, the guys you're going to be able to work with. I know when we heard from Rich, he was overly excited, and even thought maybe stealing one or two, I think, from you to try to get him on the defensive line. I don't know. But talk about the guys that you're bringing in and who you think are going to be some solid Bearcats for you.
Are you talking about the incoming freshman guys?
Yeah, incoming, the recruiting class you just signed.
I've signed a very good recruiting class. We feel like good depth overall, really good offensive line guys. Just some guys I recruited, a kid, Jacob Birdman out of Stevens Point, Wisconsin, big physical kid, can move well, very good athlete, moves his feet very well, finishes his blocks. We're very excited about him. TJ Garrity from up in Wisconsin, big defensive, that big body defensive end that Rich has been looking for, and a guy that eventually, if he puts a lot of weight on, could kick down inside too. So moves very well, good basketball player, good track kid, multiple sport kid that we're looking for. So just a lot of good athletes overall. Feel very, very good about the class. So.
And you are one of the guys that kind of extends out beyond the close region, talking about recruiting Wisconsin. What's that like when you get outside of, say, the four-state area? Obviously a lot of people in this region know and have heard of the Bearcats. You guys have been on national TV. What's it like up in Wisconsin when you're recruiting?
It's a lot of more people are starting to know who we are, and we've gotten a few kids from some really good programs the last few years, and that helps. The word of mouth spreads, and just getting up there and hitting the different schools, when they're during the spring and after the season's over, just getting in and talking to the coaches, and you get that familiarity once you're up there enough times. You get that comfort level, and they know who we are too, just by the exposure we've gotten on national TV. So it's been a big a big thing for us to go up there and get some solid recruits.
Obviously, everybody hears about Texas and Florida and the big recruits during recruiting season out of that. What's Wisconsin football like? What is it that makes some of those guys Bearcat worthy?
Just blue collar, hard working kids, our type of guys. They're going to come in here and work their tail off. They know nothing's given to them. They got to earn it. And that's the type of programs that they're coming from up there. Physical, think of big physical offensive, defensive linemen. Linebackers that can run around and hit people. Just physical smash mouth football is what you think of with Wisconsin kids. So
here coming up, you guys have spring ball getting started before too long.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. What do you look for in spring ball? What's the goal of spring ball overall for the team?
Well, you look for improvement, number one, from the first practice up until the spring game. You're looking for constant improvement, and you talk about that every single day in your position group and amongst your unit. So that's the number one thing. Also, just building that competition, seeing, trying to build depth, who's going to rise up and take those spots. So we preach competition around here a lot, and going back to recruiting, you recruit those type of kids that aren't afraid to come in and compete, and you build depth that way. So,
well, we almost make it sound when we talk about spring ball that work's just getting started for the guys, but I know the guys have been working out hard.
Oh yeah,
and so I would guess with that mentality, you get a lot more out of spring ball because you're not wasting any time, maybe getting them a little bit back into shape because they're ready to go.
I think Rich has talked about this before, too. Just in the last two seasons, we've had, those 5 extra weeks during the playoffs that our guys get with the extra practice time. That's valuable time that those kids have gotten and all those extra reps. Once our season gets done, December 17th or whatever it was, they had a little time off with Christmas break and get back here and Joe gets their hands on them and they're hitting the weights and, been doing our Winter Wonderland morning running stuff the last few weeks, and which, with the weather the way it is now, it's more like summer, summer weather. So it hasn't been too cold. We had a couple cold mornings, but, overall it's been good. And, again, we're trying to foster that competition during that, seeing who the guys are, they're going to rise up and be leaders. And for us as coaches, that's really neat to see, the guys that are sophomores that are going into their junior year now that, they kind of take a step up and are more vocal and seeing which guys are taking that role. So
let's talk about your linebacking core going into the season. Obviously, you lost an absolute stud with Jake Volstead.
Oh, yeah.
But just talk about the group that you've got coming back this year.
It's a great group. You know, we did lose Jake. I mean, he was a fantastic, phenomenal football player. I think he's the best linebacker I've coached here, and I've had some good ones. So, those are hard shoes to fill. But we have a collection of guys that are very unselfish and put the team first. And I think there's a lot of guys in there that have abilities to make plays. And just Jared Bishop's the kid that's going to be back next year. Nick Hess, man, he's really stepped up his leadership role this offseason. You know, he knows the thing about him. He's a very humble kid, and he knows the things he needs to work on and get better at. Ben Althoff is another kid I'm very excited about. He's had a really good offseason so far, and excited to see what he can do this spring. And Andy Hessler was a guy that he played some as a backup last year and got about 10, 15 snaps a game or so. Played on all the special teams as a long snapper. And I think he's going to make a big jump this offseason as well. And Matt the Boz, we call him Conley. he's the big time special teams guy the last couple of years for us on kickoff, making tons of tackles. And he's ready to step up. You know, I met with those guys individually last week, and you know, it's neat to hear what they're saying. And they're driven, they're competitive, and they want to be the leaders of our defense. So.
When you talk about taking on a leadership role, to me, I would think doing that for a football player can be a challenge because they can play the game.
Yeah.
They know what they're supposed to do, doing their assignment. That's kind of easy.
Yeah.
They've been doing it
yep.
for so long. But I would guess taking a step into a leadership role for some guys may be a little out of their comfort zone.
It can be, yeah. It really can be. Some guys, it comes natural to them. But if you remember back, a guy like Eric Reimer, who never really said anything, he was a kind of a lead-by-example guy. And when he said something, our guys, you know, they perked up and listened to what he was saying, you know. But everybody leads in their own different way. And I think I've got a good group, a good collection of different guys that lead different ways. So Jared and Nick, both of those guys are going to be the vocal guys in the group. Even Andy Hessler, these guys, he's only going to be a sophomore. And he's stepped up as a leader. You know, he's a young guy still considered, you know, but he's I'm really intrigued by what he's done so far this offseason and where he's going to go. So,
well, Coach, thanks for stopping by. Enjoy spring
ball. Absolutely. Thank you. We're excited about it. So,
that is Chad,
thanks for having me on.
That is Chad Boswick, linebackers coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, they've got spring ball coming up here about 8 days or so, somewhere in there. So football season ready to get started. We'll take a timeout, come back, and wrap it up here from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville right after this on the Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at U.S. 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Vierteller provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we wrap things up for another program with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and Matt, big weekend coming up. Final two regular season games of the year for the Bearcat basketball teams.
And we heard a couple of different hard-to-believes tonight. One of those, can't believe this is the last week of the regular yeah. season of basketball, and can't believe spring football is about to get started, you know. So it happened, obviously, in the same time of year. But, again, exciting because we're getting into yet another crossover season with some exciting basketball ahead of us this week. You know, track and field, baseball, softball, track and field moving to outdoors. Got tennis who moved up their start to this weekend for the men anyway. So, yeah, great. Another one of those great times of year if you're a fan of athletics.
Well, think about the spring sports. They've had an opportunity to get some good practices in here in the last week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been beautiful. I hear that's maybe going to turn.
Yeah.
I hope they're wrong again. You never know. But, yeah, you're exactly right. Not only when they've been traveling, but today I drove by the baseball field and saw them playing a scrimmage against themselves, and that's invaluable right now.
All right, we've got a big weekend coming up. First of all, on Thursday night, tomorrow night, it's Northwest and Leonard Wood. The women will tip off at 5:30, the men at 7:30, while the broadcasts are both beginning at 5:10 with our pregame for the women. And then on Saturday afternoon, Lincoln comes to town. The women at 1:30, the men at 3:30, and our pregame at 1:10 for all the action of that doubleheader on Saturday here on KXCV, Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe. Thanks to everyone involved with our program. For Matt Gorder and also Ryan Hill, helping from behind the scenes, I'm John Coffey, and so long until next week.
According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, one February health awareness involves the heart. February is American Heart Month. The term heart disease can refer to many types of heart conditions. Both the CDC and the American Heart Association have sites that can help you determine your heart health or provide valuable information. For a direct link to these sites, visit nottawaypublichealth.org. This message was brought to you by the Nottoway County Health Department.
Your source for great music and entertainment. This is KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe.
With their conductor, Joanne Folletta. Folletta is a fine guitarist as well, and here she is playing the lute in a sinfonia by Camilla De Rossi. two movements from a sinfonia by Camilla de Rossi, one of the few female composers of the 18th century, Joanne Folletta played the lute and led the Bay Area Women's Philharmonic. From APM, American Public Media, this is Performance Today. I'm Fred Child, taking you to concerts around the world. Let's hear a highlight from the most recent U.S. tour by the Venice Baroque Orchestra. This is a group that was founded two decades ago, in 1997, and I really like their sound and their sensibility. Of course, they want to play a very high percentage of the right notes, but their focus is really on creating a lively, almost rustic sound, building little swells, making the musical phrases ebb and flow, even little changes in tempo or speed, depending on the shape of the melody or even the feel of the moment. See if you can hear this and feel this too, their sense of freedom in their music making, even though they're playing all the notes written down by the composer. In this case, the Venice Baroque Orchestra is playing a concerto for violin and oboe by Antonio Vivaldi. The group's founder, Andrea Marcone, playing the harpsichord and conducting this concert at the University of Georgia in Athens.